we could start with the fact that not only have the translators changed many words in the Bible and added words and taken words out and changed words, but one thing that is responsible for much of the trouble that's going on in the world right now, in every country in the world, is that the word Jew is not in the Bible, nor is the word Gentile. The translators have added those words. The word is either Judean or Judahite or Yehudi in Hebrew, which does not mean Jew. It is not an ethnicity. The difference, the Bible clearly tells us that the difference between the Judeans and the nations, which is the real word that's been mistranslated, Gentiles, was whether they worshipped the true God or whether they worshipped many pagan gods. The Judahites and the Judeans were the ones either from the tribe of Judah or that worshipped the God who was in the temple in Jerusalem, which was in Judea. And they were called Judeans or Judahites, or in the Hebrew, Yehudi, which is a variation on the word Yehovah, Jehovah, because there was no J in any language until about the 13th century. And so this was a designation of who they worshiped and not an ethnicity.
Not all of a sudden. It's been a few hundred years, right?
Well, the King James Version was written in 1611, and that's when the major change was made. And instead of Judean and Judahite, the word was changed to Jew. The word nations is sometimes actually translated correctly, but in other parts it's translated heathen, which means non-believer in the true God, and that is also correct. But then they call it Gentiles. What they have done is they've taken a form of worship. In other words, do you worship the true God or do you worship multiple pagan gods? That's what the word Judahite or Judean or Yehudi means, that you worship the true God, and the word nations or heathen means you worship many pagan gods. So it was a form of worship. But what the translators have done is they've changed it into a supposed ethnicity, as though there are ethnic Jews and ethnic Gentiles. The Old Testament Israelites were not Jews. The Old Testament Israelites were just people. And in fact, when they came out of Egypt in the Exodus, the Bible tells us that they were a mixed multitude. They were not Jews. So the present-day Jews, those who call themselves Jews, have no relationship at all to the Old Testament Israelites and have no right to the land of Palestine, none at all. The present-day Jews, as you well know, are actually of Gentile, if you will, origin. They are barbarian, from barbarian Mongol Turks, who accepted the culture and religion of Judaism in about the 8th century. So the present-day Jews, the people who are occupying Israel, have no right to be there. And the whole idea that they are the chosen people is baloney. It has nothing to do with that. Jesus was not a Jew. Almost every religion believes that Jesus was a Jew, an ethnic Jew. He was not. Not only that, the Jews of today say if your mother was a Jew, well, then you are a Jew. But Jesus had lots of non-Israelites in his lineage. Rahab was a Canaanite. She was not an Israelite primarily. Ruth, who married Boaz, was in the line of Jesus, and she was not an Israelite. So this whole idea of confusing everyone in the religious world into thinking that the present-day Jews are somehow the offspring of the Old Testament Israelites is the biggest con game of all time. It's even probably bigger than the Federal Reserve con game, because it is responsible for almost all the wars in the world. Because who's behind all the wars?
Exactly, one particular group.
Right, one particular group. And so when you start looking at that, and this is not, you don't have to be a Hebrew scholar or you don't have to be a Greek scholar to figure this out. All you have to do is either go on the internet and get an interlinear Bible, which has the Greek and the Hebrew and right below the English, and it shows you what these words mean if you have a concordance. And so all you have to do is look these things up. It's very clear there. And in the interlinear Bible, they'll have, on the left side, they'll have the literal translation, and on the right side, they'll have the King James translation. And you can see in many instances where they actually change it, such as Jesus was not resurrected on Sunday or the first day of the week. Jesus was resurrected on the Sabbath, and the Bible tells you what day the Sabbath was. The Sabbath was Saturday. That's when the Pharisees were angry at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath and for them taking grain out of the field on the Sabbath, because the Pharisees accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. And so you can see on the left-hand side in the literal version, the word is Sabbath, and then they change it on the other side to first day of the week.
Wow.
You can see this. It's amazing what they have done.
And you say that Jesus was not a Jew, and you mentioned Ruth, and she was a Moabite, I believe.
Right.
And, yes, well, so that kind of is indicative that he did have other bloodlines, other tribes.
But see, again, he wasn't a Jew. He was a Judahite, because he was from the tribe of Judah.
Oh, okay.
All right? He was a Judahite, but he wasn't a Jew. There is a difference between a Judahite and a Jew. They have shortened it to make it into an ethnicity. A Judahite wasn't even an ethnicity. It was the tribe that you were from. It's sort of like if you were born in Riverside County or Hennepin County, that's the county you were born in, but that doesn't make you a different ethnicity.
All right, so you're referring to the 12 tribes of Israel, and of which
right.
Judah was one of the sons.
Right, but see, all of the 12 tribes of Israel, by today's religions, were considered Jews. But they weren't.
I don't know how they come up with that. I've always kind of wondered about that.
Well, that's because they consider the word Israelite synonymous with Jew. But it was not. You see, when Jacob, here's the thing, you have to say, well, who was the first Jew? Well, they say, well, Abraham was the father of the Jews. Well, Abraham was a Babylonian. He came from Ur of the Chaldees, which was Babylon. And so he came to Canaan. Well, he was a Babylonian who came to Canaan, which was a pagan nation. That didn't make him a Jew, all right? Sarah was from Babylon. She came to Canaan. They were just people. And so they were Babylonians, they came to Canaan, and then they had a child named Isaac. Well, Isaac was just the son of two Babylonians. He wasn't Jewish. And then Isaac had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Well, Esau has never been considered a Jew, all right? Because only Jacob was considered a Jew. Jacob's name was changed to Israel when his character changed, because Jacob means supplanter or deceiver, and when he finally gave up a life of deception where he had deceived his father and he had deceived his future father-in-law and all that, he then decided to give it up because he was reaping what he had sown. His father-in-law deceived him and gave him the wrong woman for his bride, which was Leah, who was the sister of the one he wanted. So anyway, he gave up his life of deception. And so when he fought with the angel said, because your character has changed, now you are one with God, I am going to change your name to Israel. All right? His genes didn't change, only his name and his character changed. So from then on, the ones who worshiped the same God as Jacob now worshiped, whose name was changed to Israel, were called Israelites. All right? It was not a genetic thing. It was only a character thing. If you worship the true God, then you were an Israelite.
All righty. And Jacob had something like, what, four wives, and his children were conceived with those four women, not all
just
one woman.
Yes, he had two wives and two concubines, and the children were of the concubines and the wives, all right?
Right.
And so, and but the thing is, not only did his were his family called Israelites, but all those who worshiped the same God were also called Israelites. The point being that an Israelite was one who worshiped the true God, and that was called a Judean or a Judahite because Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, and so they were Judahites if they worshiped Jesus. Now you say, well, Jesus hadn't come to earth yet. But it was the Israelites were not Jews, they were Christians. They did not practice Judaism. Judaism did not start until after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, when the Pharisees, who called for his death, actually wrote down the oral traditions and it became the Talmud. The Israelites were actually Christians because they were looking forward to Christ the Messiah.
And isn't that interesting, folks? I know that was a bit of a long intro, but I thought I'd include it for you because it's important. It's important that people see what's actually happening and why it's happened to the world and who these people that are doing all this stuff really are. Bit of a jungle through here, folks. Secret garden. Looks a little different every time I come. You can see a lot of work is being done. There's still a lot of work to do. Bamboo's looking a little worse for wear. Still a lot of work to be done, but it's coming along and it's looking better every time I come here. Just said hello to the owner as I came through again. Wonderful man, truly wonderful man. But yeah, it's really important to look at this whole Jewish question and figure out who these people really are and where this has all come from and where it's all leading to. And that's a wonderful presentation that was given by a lady called Lorraine Day, Dr. Lorraine Day. I did plan to have her on the show, but unfortunately she died last month. She was a wonderful woman. She was about 86 or something when she died, so she had a pretty good innings. But yeah, interesting stuff, folks, really interesting stuff. And what she's saying there, I mean, if you have a problem with anything that she's saying about what Israel really means and who Israel was and what an Israelite was and what a Judean was and what a Judahite was, well, really, your problem is with the scribes of the Bible itself. Not with me, not with her. She's simply giving you the interpretations that are listed in the Interlinear Bible. Now, I've actually got an Interlinear Bible at home in Australia. I've been looking for a copy of the same one online. There's a few different versions of Interlinear Bibles. Not all of them have the King James translation in there as compared to the literal translation. And it's important that you get that one. And I couldn't find it online. I was looking for PDFs so I could show you some of the pages I'm referring to. But unfortunately, I couldn't find it online, and it's been like 10 days or something since I did a video, so I thought it was time that I came and did one for you. Place is looking pretty good, folks. Lily pond looks great, and it's definitely coming along. This is where we hold the conference out here, and as you can see, that's all pretty good. Over there, the land where the conference is held is all pretty good. It's going to be great this year. I'm really looking forward to it. 10th anniversary, folks. 10th anniversary of an Acapulco. Amazing that it's gone for that long. And I've actually been speaking at it every year since the second one, I think. I wasn't at the first one, but I was at the second one. And there was one year that I missed out when I broke my foot. And I tried to do it by video link up, but just didn't have the connection to pull it off, which was very unfortunate. That's the only one that I missed. But yeah, it's going to be great this year. But getting back to what I was talking about, I mean, it's really important that people see what's going on here. The people that are claiming they own the land of Israel are not the Jews of the Bible. There were no Jews in the Bible. The word wasn't invented until 1611 with the King James Version of the Bible. they were Israelites. And the people that are in control of Israel now have absolutely nothing to do with the Israelites of the Bible. They have no claim to the land at all. Most of them aren't even Semites, most of them are European. I've actually gone through and I've showed you where all the leaders come from, like Benjamin Netanyahu's got roots in Poland, there's another guy's got roots in Romania, there's one guy's got roots in Australia. I mean, they're from all over the place, they're not from Israel. It's the same with the army. The army that they've got in there slaughtering Palestinians at the moment, at least 50% of that army are not from Israel. They're foreigners that have come over there because they've got an opportunity to kill children. Well, we're going over, we're going to be given a gun, we can go in there and just murder people and rape and pillage and plunder. Yeah, sign me up. That's the mentality of these people, folks. That's the mentality of these people. Yeah, a lot of destruction here, folks, but it's really coming along well. And that's really freaky, the fact that most of the people that are in there slaughtering the Palestinians are not even Israelis. They might think that they're Jews. And, you know, and the whole programming of these people, it's incredible. As I've said, the Jews are the most programmed people on earth. Israelis are the most programmed people on earth. It's remarkable seeing just how programmed they are and how much they revel in bloodlust. I mean, listen to this piggy bitch.
People in Gaza need to die.
Is that seriously what you think?
I am killed two people Palestinian.
I don't believe you did that.
I am in the army in Israel.
Are you actually in the army?
Yes, I am in the army and boom, boom, two people.
Two Palestinians?
Yes.
And you're happy about it?
Yes, of course. I want to kill more.
Yeah, what do you even say to that? I mean, how do you even comprehend that type of mentality? Yeah, I killed two people that I've never met before, and I feel so good about it and so happy, and wow, I got to kill two Palestinians. You're a murderer. You're a murdering bitch. You just murdered people you don't know under false pretenses in revenge of a false flag attack that was carried out by your government. And there's so much evidence of this, folks. I mean, the people, all the witnesses on the ground, there's so much videos coming out and so much propaganda coming out, being spread by people saying, oh, you know, we've got to go and do what we're doing because Hamas murdered 1,400 Israelis on October the 7th. No, Hamas didn't. Most of these people were killed by Israel. Most of these people were killed by their own tanks, by their own helicopter gunships. And this is admitted by the people from the kibbutz themselves. Check this out.
4 אחרי צהריים, פתאום ג'יפים מתייצבים לנו על הכביש, והבנו שהצבא סוף סוף הגיע. לא עוברות 5 או 10 דקות מהרגע שהם מגיעים, והתחיל מתח יריות, הרוס, כולנו השתתחנו על הרצפה.
בשלב הזה לי ברור שהתפקיד שלנו הוא שאנחנו חומה אנושית בין הכוחות שלנו שמגיעים ובין בינם. עדי ואני מתכווצים ונכנסים למצב של כפיות, ושאני מאחוריו מחבקת אותו.
כולנו התחלנו לרוץ, כולל המחבלים, כולנו הסתתרנו, משכבים על הרצפה, ביריות, בום 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 בום, כדורים נכנסים לבית בכל דרך אפשרי. ופתאום מרגמה, לא יודעת, משהו כבד, לא עשה בום בכל הבית.
אני שומעת את הילדים, הצילו, הצילו, בבקשה, הצילו. לא אשכח בחיים את הצעקות של הילדים, איך שהם זועקים לעזרה, ומתחים, שוב מתחים, מתחים, מתחים.
כוחות הימ"מ יורים שני טילי לאו לכיוון הבית.
שוב מתחים, 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 וידי מנסה להרים את הראש, ואני אומרת, מורידה לו. ככה, מורידה לו את הראש, לא מדברים, אי אפשר לדבר. ואז פתאום עדי אומר לי, הדס, זאב כבר לא איתנו. שוכבים על הצד, ואני מסתכלת דרך הכתף, אז אני אומרת לו, גם פסי לא איתנו.
הטנק במקום יורה שני פגזים, אחד לרצפה, השני לגג הבית.
פתאום בום נוראי, ואני לא מצליחה להזיז את הרגליים, ואני רואה והידיים שלי שמוטות, אני לא מצליחה להזיז את כבר לא מחבקת את דושי, ואני אומרת לו, דושי, אני חושבת שנפגעתי. ובשלב הזה אני אומרת לו עוד פעם שאני אוהבת אותו. היה לי ברור שיש פה טנק, זה היה ברור לי לגמרי. אל תשאלי אותי איך, אני לא יודעת. ואז היה הבום השני. אני מרגישה שנפגעתי, ואני מרגישה שזורם עליי הרבה דם, ואני מסתכלת, מפנה את הראש כדי לראות למה אני, מה קרה לי בדיוק. ואז אני רואה חור כזה בעורק הראשי של ידי, ואני לוקחת את האגודל שלי, זאת היד, לוקחת את האגודל שלי ועושה לו חוסם עורקים, כי מה אני עוד יכולה לעשות? עוד רגע זז וכבר לא זז, אבל אני ככה שוכבת עד שאני מבינה שאני כבר, אני בתוך שלולית של דם ואין כבר למעלה קצת חוסם. אני פשוט חוזרת לחבק אותו ושוכבת עם הפרצוף, עם הכל בתוך שלולית ענקית של דם. ואני זוכרת שאני שומעת עוד יריה אחת מתוך הבית, ואני לא שומעת כלום כבר, ומחכה לכדור שלי.
Yeah, I mean, I'm showing you the video footage from the helicopters where they were shelling cars. There's now video footage that's come out of a tank cruising around the kibbutz, blowing up homes.
בא לראות טנק בתוך בערי, עושה על הכביש. הופה, היה שם איזה ירי. וואו.
פתאום.
Yeah, a little bit short, but you can see that the tank was blowing up homes there. You've seen all the footage, the fact that this was all done by Israel, was staged by Israel. I mean, if Israel didn't stage this completely themselves, then at very least they were complicit in this. And they did everything they could to get the body count up so that they could justify the genocide that they're currently carrying out, regardless of what the world thinks. And they're trying to push it, as I've said, they're trying to push it into World War III. There was an attack on a US ship a couple of weeks ago. I mentioned to you, I mean, this is obviously Israel's done this, and they've said, oh, if you don't go in and deal with the Houthis, then we will. So, of course, now you've got naval ships streaming down to Yemen. They're going to blow up a bunch of whole innocent people in Yemen who had nothing to do with this as well.
Threats to our nations, they don't sleep. They're watching our every move. Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, ISIS, Al-Qaeda. They may be watching this right now. Our military should not be mistaken for a cable news gabfest show. We don't care what you look like. We don't care who you voted for, who you worship, what you worship, who you love. It doesn't matter if your dad left you millions when he died or if you knew who your father was. We have been honed into a machine of lethal moving parts that you would be wise to avoid if you know what's good for you. We will not be intimidated. We will not back down. We've seen war. We don't want war. But if you want war with the United States of America, there's one thing I can promise you, so help me God. Someone else will raise your sons and daughters.
Yeah. Drinking dope, turn me to a superhero. Get that pill, turn me to a superhero.
They're talking about going to war with Lebanon. They're still trying to push the concept that Hamas is ISIS, when even ISIS themselves put out a statement saying they want to destroy Hamas because ISIS is Israel. As I showed you before, the leader of ISIS was identified as a guy called Benjamin Ephraim, who is a Israeli operative working for Mossad Special Operations.
جاني هود وغني جاني.
على اسمك الحقيقي واسمك الحركي في ليبيا؟
محمد ياسر أبو علاء.
محمد ياسر أبو علاء. جنسيتك؟
سورية.
ديانتك؟
يهودية.
عملك؟
ملازم أول موسى.
عملك؟
ملازم أول موسى.
أمتى جنت في الموساد؟
سنة 2002.
أمتى دخلت إلى ليبيا؟
في عام 2012.
You know, it's all coming out, and that's the one good thing about this, folks, is that it's all coming out. And for those people who wonder why I'm still on this topic, well, obviously because I have friends in Gaza, but also because everything that's happening around the world, the smart grid, the migrant influx into Europe, COVID, the vaccine, all of this stuff that's happened has all been done by these same people. And what Israel is doing with this ridiculous operation they're carrying out in Gaza and the mass slaughter of children that they're carrying out in Gaza, which is absolutely ridiculous, folks, how many children are dying. All of this is exposing the hand that is behind all of the global conflicts that we have. Now, Israel's exposing itself. Israel will not survive what it's done through this genocide. You've even got people who believe they're Holocaust survivors. I'm sure a lot of them actually do. They're probably children being held in the camps. They don't realize that actually if they were death camps, well, they wouldn't have been released and they wouldn't be still alive. They weren't death camps, they were work camps. And that's the thing as well, folks. I mean, if they were death camps, why would the Germans have spent all that money loading them onto trains and getting them down there and keeping them in prison and building gas chambers and ovens and all sorts of shit like that? Well, they could just put them in a field and let them die the way Eisenhower did with between 6 and 11 million Germans after the war who all died in Rheinwiesenlager. They just put them in a field and didn't feed them, didn't give them water, didn't give them blankets, didn't give them any shelter. They left them there. And within a week or two, they're all dead. You still, to this day, are not allowed to farm in the Rhine Valley in Germany, because if you start ploughing the ground, you're going to dig up the bones of millions of bodies, millions of people who were killed in the Rhine Valley because they were simply put in camps and left to die. You know, if there was an attempt to exterminate the Jewish people during World War II, that's what they would have done. They just would have put him in a camp and left him there to die. They would have just killed him. See him, oh, there's one, shoot him, kill him. You know, they're not going to load him on trains and take him off to camps and do all this shit that they said they did. Which changed, of course. I mean, they said originally that when they got off the trains, they were simply throwing them onto fires and burning them alive. Then they realised, well, actually, human bodies don't burn that easily, so we're not going to get away with that story. So then they invented the gas chamber story. And none of it can be proven to be true. I mean, none of it pans out when you really start looking at it, folks. So, but that's what they would have done if they really wanted to kill the Jewish people, folks. They weren't death camps, but anyway, I'm getting off topic. But yeah, with everything that's happening, I mean, it's hard to imagine the psychopathy that it takes to be a modern-day Jew in Israel. It really does, folks. And there's even one of their ministers who say that he thinks they came to the ceasefire too soon. They needed to kill 100,000 people before they get to the first ceasefire. Then they would have got all the hostages exchanged. He admits in the conversation, he says, there are 20,000 Hamas terrorists in Gaza. You know, the reports we hear from the news are saying, oh, we've killed 1,000, but there's still 40,000 left. You know, this guy originally said, well, there's 20,000 in there to begin with. But we need to kill 100,000 people before we can have our hostages back. 100,000 people. So he's basically saying we need to, there's a spider web here, folks, we need to kill 80,000 innocent people, because there's 20,000 terrorists. We need to kill 80,000 innocent people, and then we've got a hope of getting our hostages back. This is the mentality of these people.
לדעתי צהל היה יכול לתת מכת פתיחה כואבת יותר עם 100,000 הרוגים בהתחלה. כן, יש אנשי חמאס, יש עוד 20,000 אנשי חמאס.
אתה יודע שהמאה אלף האלה זה לא היו 100,000 אנשי חמאס.
אני לא יודע מה זה מעורבים ולא מעורבים וחפים מפשע, מחפים לפשע.
אתה באמת רוצה להרוג 100,000 עזתים?
כרגע שהרגו לי 1,400 בני אדם, הייתי צריך להנחית על עזה מכה כואבת כזו, כמו בעופות דורסים בתחילת עופרת יצוקה.
לא, לא, כן. שם נהרגו עשרות שוטרים.
אני אומר, לא אמרתי כמו במספרים.
אבל 100,000 עזתים, צביקה, אתה עומד מאחורי הדבר הזה?
שנייה, רגע, אני חושב, אז מה,
אתה חושב, ברור שאתה חושב.
הרגו לך 1,400, היית יכול לצאת למבצע צבאי, ואתה יודע מה, אני לא יודע גם לכמה תגיע בסוף. בהתחלה תגיע למספרים ואחר כך תלך לעינה של הפסקת אש והפסקת חטופים. מכה צבאית אתה צריכה להיות יותר קשה מהמכה שראינו.
Mind-boggling, folks. Absolutely mind-boggling. Kill 100,000 people. And it's ethnic cleansing. I mean, this is ethnic cleansing. Everything they're doing is ethnic cleansing. Gaza is in absolute ruins, folks. You look at northern Gaza, what they've done to the place. Yeah, I mean, you've got whole suburbs, whole blocks, residential blocks that were full of buildings that are all now bulldozed into one pile.
20 ל-12 סג'איה. זריחה בחורבות סג'איה שהייתה. אפשר לראות פה את האנטנות של נחל עוז, של המוצב ושל היישוב. גדוד 605, חטיבה 188, סגירת מעגל קטנה.
Unbelievable stuff. You've got Israelis there digging up roads so that people can't use the roads. You know, they're making it impossible for the people of Gaza to ever return to the lands that they had. They intend to take it over. Yeah, and they're so demented. There's one woman who's a head of a settler movement, and the Israeli settlers are probably the most brutal, heartless, and sadistic terrorist organization on earth, Israeli settlers. I mean, some of the stuff that they do in West Bank, the stealing of homes, you know, regularly setting children on fire. There was one child, 18 months old, they set him on fire. As I mentioned to you before, the guy who did that waited 2 years to go to trial, and then his punishment for setting this 18-month-old Palestinian child on fire was that he was not allowed to visit West Bank for 3 months. That was his punishment for the murder, brutal murder, by fire, burning alive, an 18-month-old child. There was another kid, 8 years old or something like that. They poured petrol over him, gasoline over him, made him drink gasoline, and then set him on fire. Beat the shit out of his brother as well. But there's one woman, the head of one of the settler movements, who's saying that the settlers want to see the ocean, they want to see the sea. This is a logical and romantic concept, and so in order to do this, we need to completely destroy Gaza so we can build settlements on the ocean because the settlers want to see the sea.
אבל בוא נאמר,
תעשי את זה, אני מכיר אותך קצת, תעשי את זה אם תוכלי.
יכול להיות, אבל בוא נאמר ככה, הצבא צריך לגמור, כמו שעבד בצפון, הוא צריך לעבוד בדרום, ולהשאיר את עזה ללא ערבים, ולהקים התיישבות יהודית בכל חבל עזה. כאשר אומרים ביישובי העוטף שרוצים לראות את הים, זאת אומרת, כדי לראות את הים, צריך שלא יהיו בתים. לא יהיו בתים, לא יהיו ערבים. רק זו דרך אלגנטית, רומנטית כזאת, לומר, אני רוצה לראות את הים. איך תראה את הים? לא יהיו בתים, לא יהיו ערבים, תראה את הים. רעיון הוא עזה יהודית. עזה זאת לא עיר חמאס. עזה זאת אחת מערי ארץ ישראל. אנחנו פשוט חוזרים. היה עיוות היסטורי.
Unbelievable stuff, folks. The level of sociopathy. The level of psychopathy in these people is incredible. I mean, whether it's programmed into them or what it is, I mean, how they think this way, it's mind-boggling. But again, I mean, this is what the Talmud teaches. that it's okay to kill children, it's okay to break the spines of children, it's okay to steal land, it's okay to steal, it's okay to murder, it's okay to do anything. If you're a Jew, according to the Talmud, it's crazy, folks. It's absolutely nuts. It's the most psychotic religion ever conceived. It really is. And we have a huge opportunity by exposing what's going on in Palestine right now. Israel is really destroying itself. And if Israel destroys itself and we stay on this topic and keep exposing the criminality of this country for what it is, as I said, it's these people who are controlling all of our governments, these people who are controlling everything, certainly in control of the US government. 84% of politicians in the United States are dual Israeli citizens. What the fuck is that all about, folks? Why are you allowing dual Israeli citizens in your government? Do you think these people's first allegiance lies with the United States or with Israel? I mean, the United States is pretty much a vassal state of Israel now. That's why it's been dragged into war. That's why you've got ships going down to Yemen, doing everything they can to blow those people up and continue the war every way that they possibly can. There's a lizard over there. Check this guy out. Oh, he's just disappeared. Oh, well. Went into the logs. Yeah, dragging the world into war. It's what they want, folks. A lot of people are kind of coming to the party with it as well. Malaysia is now not allowing any Israeli ships to dock at their ports. It's a good thing. I saw a politician from Spain as well just asking, well, why are we friends with Israel still? Why haven't we closed our enemy? Because if there's a country that is committing genocide and we are friends with a country who is committing genocide, then what does that make us?
Mire, han dicho ustedes que Israel es un país amigo. Y yo quiero lanzarle la pregunta a toda esta Cámara. Si somos amigos de un genocida, entonces, ¿quiénes somos nosotros? ¿En qué lugar nos deja ser los amigos de un genocida? Intentemos responder a esas preguntas. Creo que, además, en esta cuestión no se está respetando la voluntad mayoritaria democrática de la ciudadanía española. España es un pueblo de paz. España es el país del no a la guerra. Y estoy convencida de que ahí fuera hay una mayoría de personas horrorizadas por lo que estamos viendo en Palestina que quiere que España haga algo concreto.
And there's no denying this is genocide. They're saying you're anti-Semitic. If you're saying this is genocide, you're anti-Semitic. The Israelis aren't even Semites. The Palestinians are 100% Semitic. Israel is actually the most anti-Semitic nation that's ever existed, waging war against the Semites, the local Semites, all their neighbours, and it is genocide. You don't bulldoze entire suburbs, you don't bulldoze entire city blocks into one big pile and rip up all the roads and deny the people of the most basic necessities to live without it being genocide. They're even advertising beachfront homes there in Gaza now. Beachfront homes. This is a country they're supposed to be going in and clearing out Hamas, we're told. Yet they're offering you beachside units in Gaza already. They plan on taking over the entire place, folks, and they're doing the same with West Bank. A lot of people aren't talking about what's going on in West Bank. The violence and atrocities and slaughter that's going on in West Bank is just as bad as what's going on in Gaza. We're told that Hamas is in control of West Bank and this is actually a war against Hamas. Yet in the same breath they're saying, well, we're not going to allow the Palestinian Authority to have any control or any rule over Palestine either. They intend to rule it themselves. And what they're doing, folks, is exterminating everybody. There won't be any Palestinians to rule over. It will just become part of Israel. That's the plan anyway.
There's clearly another way to fight this war, which is going after Hamas, not going after Gazans. But from the beginning, Amy, and this is, again, very important to underline, is the fact that Gaza has been the target of this war, not Hamas. And if you look at the statistics, Gazans, the journalists, the doctors, the nurses, the teachers, the academics, the children have been the main victims of this war. Hamas fighters, Hamas militants have been the collateral damage. in this war. For the past 10 weeks, it was Gaza that being decimated. Its civil infrastructure being decimated. It's been a war on hospitals, on schools, on mosques. And yes, a war on children. And yet it was unconditionally supported by the United States and other Western powers. And we haven't heard a single retraction for that support.
Cutting off food to these people, the starvation that's going on in Gaza is insane, folks. They're saying, oh, 91 aid trucks we sent in there, and they're being hijacked by Hamas. They're not being hijacked by Hamas, they're being hijacked by Israeli soldiers with masks on who are pretending they're Hamas. The people on the ground that I know in Gaza are saying no aid trucks are getting through the border at all. These are just photo ops that Israel is creating to make the world think that they're delivering aid and doing what they can to help the civilians of Palestine. Well, they're not, folks. They're doing everything they can to exterminate the civilians. They hate the civilians. And they're exterminating them in the most brutal and sadistic ways you can possibly imagine. I mean, those videos we've seen of naked men, or, you know, semi-naked men being paraded around. Oh, we make them take their shirts off because it's so hot. Yeah, right. You do it to humiliate them and to terrorize them. There's video that emerged of a bunch of soldiers from the IOF, the Israeli Occupation Forces, that shows how they treat Palestinian civilians. And I warn you, folks, this is a little disturbing. The video actually goes for 2 minutes and 50 seconds. But here you have Israeli terrorists basically stabbing Palestinian civilians to death for their own amusement.
اللهم اكفنا شره بما شئت اللهم مزقه كل ممزق اللهم مزقه كل ممزق اللهم املأ بدنه مرضا واملأ قلبه هما وغما وكمدا اللهم احكم عليه قبضتك وارنا فيه سقوتك اللهم كفر آلامه كفر آلامه وخيب آماله بقوتك يا الله إلهنا إلهنا اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا الله يا الله يا الله يا ملك يا ملك يا ملك يا عظيم يا عظيم يا عظيم اللهم املأ قلوبهم خوفا وذعرا اللهم املأ قلوبهم خوفا وذعرا اللهم أرنا فيهم يوما أسودا يوما أسودا يوما أسودا اللهم عاجلا 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 اللهم عليك بمن قتلوا الأبرياء عليك بمن سفكوا الدماء عليك بمن عذبوا الشيوخ والأطفال والنساء اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا منزل الكتاب يا مجري السحاب يا هازم الأحزاب اللهم اهزمهم زلزلهم زعزعهم اللهم يا حي يا قيوم اللهم انتصر لبيوتك اللهم انتصر لمآذنك اللهم انتصر لمآذنك سبحانك لا أغير منك لا أغير منك لا أغير منك إلهنا نعلم أنه ما نزل بلاء إلا بذنب ما نزل بلاء ما نزل بلاء
Yeah, but of course they're just targeting terrorists, folks. Just targeting terrorists, which is, of course, why they did this to a suburb of Gaza.
כאן מתחיל הניצחון. עם ישראל חי.
Yeah, that looked pretty much like they were just targeting terrorists, for sure. They tear gassed a infant school.
خفوش خفوش يا عمو خفوش خفوش يا عمو تعال غاد غاد روي
I guess the infant school was full of terrorist infants, hey? Another one they did was they bombed a children's home. A children's home, yes, folks, an orphanage. They bombed an orphanage.
Ya Allah! Ya Allah! Ya Allah!
Crazy stuff, folks. It's because they're psychopaths. And you can't even tell them. You tell one guy, I think it's the same guy, he said that... they want more war crimes. He said, I want to see war crimes. I want to see more war crimes. I don't care how many war crimes there are. I want to see more of them.
חס וחלילה, משם מלחמה זה אני, אתה רגל על הגב. משם מלחמה זה אני. אני מודה, אני אגיד את זה פה, לא אכפת לי שירדו עליי, אוספים פה חומרים. אני לא נרדם טוב בלי שאני רואה בתים קורסים באז. מה אני אעשה? עוד, עוד, עוד בתים. עוד מגדלים, שלא יהיה להם לאן לחזור. אגב, בתקופת התנך גם היו זורים את האדמה במלח. הם צריכים לזכור עם המלאק. הם צריכים לזכור את זה להרבה מאוד זמן. אי אפשר להגיע לאיזה הסדר מיד. סליחה, זה רק אני. זה פשע מלחמה.
Yeah, and you got another minister for female resources or something like that, minister for female rights or something like that, saying she wants to see bodies everywhere.
Is I don't care about Gaza. I literally don't care. For all I care, they can go out and swim in the sea. I want to see dead bodies of terrorists around Gaza.
Yeah, it's totally sick, folks. They're a totally sick culture. And they're just dancing and partying and just reveling in the destruction and the death that they're creating. I mean, Judaism is a cult of death, folks. As I've said before, most of their major holidays celebrate battles, massacres, not just battles, but massacres. And the way they've just put Hanukkah all around the world, like Hanukkah everywhere, London everywhere, big Hanukkah candles and all this sort of shit, making everybody support Jewish holidays, but now they're saying that Christmas is bad for the environment, you can't support Christmas, and a lot of signs around the place are not saying Merry Christmas anymore in Western countries, they're just saying Happy Festive Season or Merry Season or whatever, but they're leaving out the word Christmas. Which is pretty telling, folks. I mean, it shows exactly what they're doing. It shows what their plans are. And like I said, one of the most insidious things they're doing is denying the people of food. People are literally starving in Gaza Strip, folks. And there is some aid getting in, which is the most ridiculous stuff you could ever imagine. There are some toys that are making their way through, and they're even delivering toy food to the people. toy food, folks. Imagine being a starving child and getting a packet of toy food to play with. Sick, folks. These people are just the sickest culture that you've ever known. I mean, it defies all analysis. It really does. You know, and saying that they're doing this because they've got nowhere else to go. I showed you before, they have Jewish Autonomous Oblast in Russia is a place they could go to. It's actually 10,000 square kilometers bigger than Israel. They would be quite happy there, but of course they want to go there because they want their ancestral lands, even though they are not their ancestral lands, because modern-day Jews have nothing to do with the Israelites of the Bible. Isn't it remarkable when you look at that stuff that was revealed by Dr. Lorraine Day in that intro that I showed you, what the Israelites actually were? It was simply a state of mind. So it was being a Judean. It was a state of mind. It's those who believe in the one true God. That's what it was all about. There's no such thing as a Jew. This is why I've always said to you that I don't like the King James Bible. So many people try to push the King James Bible on me, and I've just said to you, no, fuck the King. Fuck the King and fuck his book. I don't do that sort of stuff. And people tell me, you need to read the Bible. I'm like, well, you know, I can't find a decent copy of the Bible. The only Bible that have decent copies are like the Greek Bible or the Hebrew Bible or the original Bibles, not the King James Bible. There's too many mistranslations in it. In fact, the King James Bible is what set up the whole situation for this Jewish takeover of the world to even begin. For these parasites, these Khazarian parasites, or whoever they are, wherever they come from, to be able to pull this scam off, which is the biggest scam ever. I mean, it really is, folks. It's bigger than, like Dr. Lorraine Day said, it's bigger than the Federal Reserve scam. It's actually even bigger than the Holohoax scam, folks. I mean, this takes it to a whole new level. Of course, the Holohoax is part of it, because they wouldn't be able to get away with it without the Holohoax, without people believing this shit, without people saying, oh, gee, we can't question the Jews. We can't say anything bad about them because of World War II. It's all bullshit, folks. So much of it is bullshit. Some of the trees here look pretty crazy, huh? There's a lot of weird angles and stuff going on. A lot of weird leaning going on around the place, folks. There really is. But, you know, like I said before, you don't do what these people are doing if it's not genocide. You don't destroy roads. You don't bulldoze suburbs. And as I've said, I mean, Gaza is absolutely devastated. It's been leveled, folks. They're turning the whole place into an open field. Yes, of course, because the Israeli settlers want to see the sea, which is a logical and romantic idea. It's unbelievable, folks, the level of psychopathy of these people. You've got to wonder, I mean, you can't hate them for it. I mean, ultimately, I'd like them to wake up. I mean, there's still a lot of Jews that don't agree with this. There's a lot of Israelis that don't agree with it. And I get emails from them all the time. I get emails from people saying, thank you so much for not hating us all, because there's a lot of us who really hate this. As I was saying before, people who believe they are Holocaust survivors, a lot of them are just horrified at what they're seeing. There was one old man who was saying, wow, when the Nazis gassed all the Jews, the world turned its back on us and didn't care. And now the Jews are genociding the people of Palestine. The world is turning their back on it and it doesn't care. So, I mean, these people, a lot of people believe the lies, they believe the propaganda, they believe the Holocaust was real. I can't hate them for it. They've never done the investigation. You know, people have been propagandized on so many levels, that's why I can't hate them. I'd like for these people to wake up. You know, I've got to admit that I'm not going to really tolerate them as much as I used to. I mean, I used to defend the Jews a lot and say you can't blame them all and blah, blah, blah. But seeing how some of these people react, I mean, like that piggy bitch saying, well, I killed two Palestinians, I'm so cool. I mean, now we're seeing people, the tank crews, they're lauding these tank crews, saying, oh, they saved all these lives in the kibbutz. No, they didn't. They killed all these people in the kibbutz. Benjamin Netanyahu getting out there and lying through his teeth every day of the week, saying we're not going to ceasefire, we're not going to ceasefire until the hostages are returned. There are no hostages. There's no hostages left. There's no Hamas left. They're putting out stuff now saying, oh, a huge barrage of rockets into Israel today. And they just put out a picture with a whole bunch of red markers on it as if it actually means something. It doesn't mean anything. There's no Hamas sending rockets over into Israel. They're just Qassam rockets. They're all sent from northern Gaza. Northern Gaza doesn't freaking exist anymore. Everybody's been pushed down to Rafah. They kept pushing them south. They told you they were going to do this. They were in North Gaza. Oh, you've got to move down to Gaza City. Oh, no, the stronghold is in Gaza City, so you've got to move down to Khan Yunis. Oh, the real stronghold is in Khan Yunis, so you've got to move down to Rafah. Now they're bombing the shit out of Rafah and saying, why didn't people move to the safe zones? Come on. Crazy folks. Well, they did move to the safe zones. It's just that you keep bombing them and you're just moving this gradually south and destroying all the population that you can. So many people are living in tent cities now in Rafah, and now they're going to start bombing these tent cities. They'll say there's Hamas infrastructure under it. That's their excuse for everything, folks. Terror tunnels. Like I said, what the fuck is a terror tunnel? It's a tunnel. Why is it a terror tunnel? Terror dungeons, they're saying. This one little dweeb from the UK, Elon Levy. He's got the most punchable face I've ever seen, this guy. This guy is spreading the worst propaganda of war. I can't wait to see him hung at the end of all this, because propaganda of war is the worst war crime you can commit. As I said before, it was identified at Nuremberg as one of the worst war crimes you can commit, because this is the propaganda of war which enables all other war crimes to happen. It's the propaganda of war which enables everybody, folks. All the bullshit that they say, and it's always about babies, killing babies and raping women and all this sort of shit. No evidence to support any of it. There's no evidence that Hamas raped anyone. As I've said before, under Islamic law, you can't rape women, you can't hurt women, you can't kill elderly people and children. If you do, you don't get your 72 virgins when you go to heaven. So even the concept that this is what Hamas is doing, it's completely ridiculous. They're saying these are Muslim extremists, and in the same breath, they're saying they're attacking women and children and raping them and killing old people, which is forbidden under Islamic law. If they were Islamic extremists, they would be extremely adhering to the law of Islam, right? And they're not doing it. So they're not Islamic extremists. They're not doing this sort of stuff. All of the prisoners that came back, that Hamas did release, any hostages they had, all happy and healthy. One of them even wrote a letter of thank you to Hamas for the extraordinary levels of humanity that were shown towards her and her daughter. And yet you look at the state of Palestinian prisoners that are released from Israeli jails, there's no comparison, folks. These people are tortured in mass in Israeli jails, And it's a rogue state. I mean, everything it tells you is backwards. All the claims of rape and beheadings and torture and all this sort of stuff, this is what the Israelis do to the Palestinians. I mean, that video of the soldiers just stabbing those guys to death for fun, laughing about it, filming it on their cell phones. I mean, this is next level. I can't even comprehend the level of psychopathy it would take for people to do this, folks. It's remarkable. It really is. And the people that are supporting it, and all the people that are still cheering Trump on, have you heard what he's been saying about all this, folks?
You want to abolish Israel? If you sympathize with jihadists, then we don't want you in our country, and you're not going to be getting into our country. I will cancel the student visas, Hamas sympathizers on college campuses. The college campuses are being taken over. And all of the resident aliens who joined in the pro-jihadist protest this month, nobody's ever seen anything like it. Come 2025, we will find you and we will deport you.
You know, Trump is not your friend. And people need to realize this. This is a puppet show. I said before, folks, you put a piece of toast in the White House, put a little smiley face on it, make a better president than any of these politicians, and it wouldn't make any difference. It doesn't matter whether you vote Liberal or whether you vote Republican or whether you vote Democrat or whether you vote Labor or whether you vote in whatever country you're in, Tories, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a puppet show. The whole thing is a freaking puppet show. They all work for the same people and they are all pushing the same agenda. What's going on in Australia at the moment? They're trying to push out a digital ID over Christmas, folks. So watch out for that one. While they've got you distracted with floods and fires, saying, yeah, it's fire season, bad fire season. The whole of Queensland is going to burn this fire season because it's fire season now. It's not summer. We don't call it summer anymore. We call it fire season because of climate change, of course. You've got to be scared. Keep you in fear, folks. But there's massive floods happening in Queensland, in North Queensland, Cairns and all this sort of stuff. So they've got people totally distracted with all this sort of crap, all their weather war shit. And while it's happening, they're trying to roll out this digital ID. We had banks going down. Recently, we saw... The Optus network went down and no one could use their banks. Now we've seen the whole Westpac network go down, so no one could withdraw money if they got a Westpac account. All trying to move it into the same direction, folks, which shows you the danger of digital IDs and all this digital shit. And, data being stolen and all this sort of stuff, identity theft, all this crap. Just reject the whole lot, folks. Reject all of their pushes for digital IDs. Reject all the stuff that they're trying to offer you because all of it is a fraud. None of it makes any sense at all. It's all being done to push their agenda. And Australia is really one of the worst people for it. I mean, the Australian government is completely invalid, folks. If you really look at... I mean, Australia doesn't even include the continent of Australia. It's like Norfolk Island and all these other places. I mean, it's just such a scam, folks. The whole thing's a scam. And now's the time to push back against it all. Now's the time for the people of the world to reject all of our governments. You know, all these people that are rallying to go to war in Yemen and all that sort of shit, all these soldiers that are all rallying to go to war, imagine what it would be like if every soldier from every country, when your government tries to push you into this war, if you turned about face and pointed your guns at the government and took them all out. How great would that be? If it happened simultaneously, worldwide civil disobedience against the politicians that are trying to send you to war to murder people you've never met before. Just kill your governments, folks. It would be great to see it. Kill your governments. Tell the Israelis they can go and live in a Jewish autonomous oblast and let the Palestinians have their country back. If they want to go to oblast, well, we could put them on an island somewhere. I think there's a garbage island floating in the Pacific. Pretty big island, folks. About the size of Texas, I hear. That'd be a good spot for the Israelis to go and live, wouldn't it? Again, they're not even Israelis. I guess they're Israelis because they come from the counterfeit state of Israel, which is a counterfeit state, an illegitimate state. But again, it has nothing to do with the biblical Israel, which was, as pointed out by Dr. Day, was simply the name given to Jacob when he changed his mind and decided he wanted to follow the one true God. And a lot of people are waking up to all this, but this is why it's important, folks. I mean, to keep a focus on what's going on in Gaza, not only because it's a genocide of 2.3 million people, and as I said, I've got friends in there, folks. I've got a friend in Gaza, my friend Nadal, who's a really, really wonderful man. He's got a young daughter. And when I see that video of what they're doing to the civilians, just lining them up against the wall like that and just stabbing them for fun until they collapse and bleed out on the floor, the thought of that happening to my friend Nadal, honestly, if my friend Nadal is killed, I'll probably sell up everything I own and I'll go to Israel just so I can kill Bibi Netanyahu myself, because it needs to be done. I mean, surely there's a sniper in Israel with some integrity that could just take this fuckwit out. Honestly, folks, and that little bald fucking dickhead, the defense minister as well. These people all need to be freaking shot, folks. They really do. They deserve it. And no, I'm not advocating violence. I'm simply trying to put a stop to violence by taking out those who are committing the worst atrocities we've seen in modern history, which is really what's going on, folks. But there is big pushbacks all around the world. A lot of people are rejecting this whole cashless grid, and that's a good thing. You've got to reject it, folks, especially in Australia. Huge opportunity for Australians to come together. We're trying to say there's a new COVID variant, of course, now in Australia. Unreal, folks. There is no new COVID variant because there isn't any old COVID variant because there isn't any COVID.
Should immediately apologize for the reckless anti-vaccine rhetoric that they are talking right now, talking about endangering lives, and it undermines science.
The whole thing was a scam, and it has been the whole time. This building here. I showed you this floor the other day, hey? Pretty wild, folks, when you look at this, what's been done to the whole place. So many trees down. It's really interesting looking at the place without the shade and shelter that it once had. It really is. But yeah, lots of stuff going on, folks. Fires, floods, distractions, crocodiles in the street in Cairns, big saltwater crocs in Cairns, apparently, folks, because 24 inches of rain in 24 hours, and it's in Cairns, and Cairns' coastal area is full of saltwater crocodiles. So apparently there's a lot of salty crocs roaming around town in Cairns, just below the water level, so I wouldn't be going out wandering knee-deep through the water at any sort of time soon, folks, because you might just run into a big salty, which could be a little uncomfortable. You know, but I see this time in history as an opportunity, and as I've said, I mean, I see opportunity in all crisis, and even they see opportunity in crisis. What's happening at the moment, really, I mean, Israel is exposing itself more and more every day, and it's Israel that controls the smart grid, it's Israel that controls the vaccinations. It's Israel that controls most of our governments. So if Israel exposes itself and we keep a focus on this, well, it's going to lose world support pretty dramatically. I don't think it's ever going to get the support that it once had. People aren't going to be able to forgive this. A lot of kids now know that the Holocaust is not real. There was a poll I saw the other day. 74% of people in the poll said they don't believe in the official story of World War II. They don't believe in the Holocaust. Which is good, because it's a complete bullshit story, folks. Provably bullshit. I mean, the Holocaust is the triumph of propaganda over science and forensic evidence. It's just, it's the most cruelest lie that's ever been perpetrated upon the world, especially upon the people of Germany, who've been feeling guilty over this for 70 years now, or 80 years. I mean, people sometimes in Germany, there's kids, I met kids in Germany, 13, 14 year old kids when I was there in 2014, who wanted to commit suicide simply because they were born German, because of the stigma attached to them because of the Holocaust lie. And it's all over the place in Germany, folks. I mean, you can't even question the Jews in Germany. You can't display a swastika or mention Hitler or any of this sort of stuff. It's just the programming of the people. I almost got arrested when I was in Germany because I was doing a talk there and someone asked me what I thought the worst atrocity of World War II was, and I said the bombing of Dresden. And when I said that, half of my audience got up and left the room because they were so offended that I spoke about the murder of Germans and not the Holocaust as being the worst crime of World War II. And I ended up, they wanted to put me on a panel and question me and all sorts of stuff. I would have ended up with 10 years in jail if I'd said what I actually believe. So I had to hightail it out of there pretty quickly at the time. back in 2014, I think it was, 2014 or 2015, might have been 2016, I don't know, but it was the year that I did Boom Festival, whatever year that was, I can't remember. I think the Boom Festival is on every even year, so I think it's 2014, 2016, 2018, so it would have been 2014 or 2016 that I was there, and as I said, folks, I mean, I had to leave because they would have arrested me had I said what I really felt. And the fact that everybody got up and left when I mentioned Dresden was incredible. They said, no, we can't talk about Dresden. That's what the fascists use. They said, they told me at the time, they said, we've got this group of people called anti-fascist fascists in German. I'm going, what the fuck is an anti-fascist fascist? Of course, now that we've had Antifa come to all of our countries, I know exactly what they meant. And apparently that movement started in Europe, most specifically in Germany in 2014. They had Antifa there, anti-fascist fascists, because Antifa is the most, they say they're anti-fascist, of course, but they are the most fascist organization on earth. It's insane. You know, everything's backwards. But yeah, that was my experience, folks. And, you know, I've often felt that we're never going to really heal the world until we heal the psyche of the German people, until these people get over their guilt complex and realize just how much they've been lied to. I mean, a lot of the white race, a lot of white culture, a lot of white history, some of the pagan traditions, all of this sort of stuff, the Wiccans, witchcraft, magic, all those sorts of things, the stories of the elves and trolls and all that sort of stuff, all come from the region of Germany and Norway and around that area. But a lot of it comes from Germany. The English language is even derived from the Germanic language. So, you know, English people are basically Germanic people. A little pussycat dandy. How you doing, little fella? What are you, wrong way? There you go. What are you up to, little mate? Look at this. Oh, don't worry about me. I'm not going to hurt you. What are you chasing there? Oh, you got a lizard or something. Okay, poor little fella. He's having a hard time, isn't he? He's lost his tail. I don't want to interfere, though. It's horrible when you see stuff like that, but you just don't want to interfere, folks. I mean, cats do what cats do, I guess. But yeah, I've often thought that we've got to heal the psyche of the German people. We're never going to really heal this situation until Europe gets back on track of what it should be. I mean, a lot of people are arcing up against the migrant influx and all that sort of stuff. That's another thing I'm seeing on Twitter as well. A lot of Jewish people who are supporting the Holocaust of Gaza are also saying, oh, enjoy your multiculturalism in Europe, folks, and saying how bad it is. Well, of course, the multiculturalism in Europe was brought about by the Jews as well, through the Kalergi Plan, the 100-year-old plan that they have there to genocide the people of Europe via mass migration. There's actually that woman, Barbara Lerner Spector, who I've had on, like I've shown you the video clip of her before, talking about how Europe is going to become multicultural and Jews will be at the forefront of making this happen, but it has to happen, otherwise Europe won't survive.
Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural, and I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Well, you know, Europe won't survive with this multiculturalism. And it's interesting, you know, when you look at how this has all been done, one of the reasons they're genociding Gaza so much and doing it so openly and publicly is because they want to arouse the Muslim world into response. I mean, Iran always said that if Israel was to do a ground incursion into Gaza, it will attack Israel, but it hasn't done so yet. Israel's really trying to push it into doing it, saying that, you know, all the Hamas terrorists are Iranian-backed, when, of course, they're not terrorists and they're not Iranian-backed. They're saying Hezbollah in Lebanon are Iranian-backed as well. They're always giving these quaint names, don't they? You know, Hezbollah, it's just a particular political party. Hamas is just a particular political party. It's like trying to vilify the name Republican or Democrat or Tory or Labour or Liberal and paint it as a terrorist cell. Anybody that opposes Israel, of course, is terrorist, because only terrorists would possibly oppose Israeli terrorism and racial supremacism and all the shit that they push. If you don't like it, you must be an anti-Semite. It's incredible. But they always give them these names and try to pronounce them in the roughest way possible. You notice a lot of people now are putting a K before Hamas. because then it can be Hamas. Hamas. It sounds rougher. It sounds like a terrorist organization. It's propaganda, folks. It's incredible the subtle levels of propaganda we see from these people and the outright lies. I mean, they certainly know how to lie, folks. If you really wanted to have a Grammy for the worst lies or the biggest lies in the world, it would certainly go to the State of Israel. But yeah, what I see through all this, as I said before, is an opportunity for us to dismiss our governments. I mean, if your government is supporting Israel, then your government is populated by war criminals. They're supporting genocide, they're supporting ethnic cleansing. And there's no debate that this is what it is. They've even said themselves, by their own words, they've said, yes, we want to kill all of Palestine. That piggy bitch before saying we need to destroy all of Gaza, destroy all of Palestine, because it's a logical and romantic thing to want to see the ocean. You heard that guy saying we need to kill 100,000 before we even call for a ceasefire. I need to kill 80,000 innocent people, including thousands upon thousands of children, because it's the right way to do things. This is genocide. You wouldn't have them ripping up the roads the way I showed you. You wouldn't have them bulldozing entire suburbs. You wouldn't have them doing any of the things they're doing if this wasn't genocide. So it's no debate that this is ethnic cleansing. If you've got a politician in your country saying this isn't ethnic cleansing, he's a fucking liar. He's either a liar or a moron. At this stage of things, folks, I mean, if you're still supporting Israel, you are either a psychopath who supports genocide and ethnic cleansing, or you are a completely uninformed moron who is probably a danger to society anyway, just simply because of the sheer stupidity you are displaying. That's the only two options, folks. You're either a psychopath or a moron. Uninformed freaking idiot if you're supporting what Israel is doing, or if you are denying that this is ethnic cleansing and genocide, because that's what it is. So how are our governments valid? If you've got a government which is supporting war crimes, how is this a valid government? Why do you have to do anything these people say? Why do you have to go to war? Why do you have to pay taxes to them? Why do you have to do a damn thing these people say when they have invalidated themselves? They've abdicated any privilege they had to govern simply through their support of war crimes. Now they are guilty under their own law. We have laws in all of our countries saying that you cannot support terrorism, you cannot support war crimes. Yet all of our governments are doing it. The Australian government, invalid, incompetent group of psychopaths who need to be removed from office immediately and held accountable for their actions. Same as the UK government, same as the Canadian government, same as the French government, same as the German government, same as the New Zealand government, same as all of them, folks. A bunch of invalid war criminals who need to be removed. And the beauty of what Israel is doing is that it is exposing itself. Israel will never recover. It will never regain the respect of the world. Israel will be forevermore known as a genocidal state. A genocidal state with the most immoral, inhuman, psychopathic, sadistic group of terrorists posing as a defense force that the world has ever seen. The Israeli Defense Force. They're not a defense force, they're an offense force, and they are all child-killing psychopaths, simply because that's what they've been programmed to be. Like I said, I don't want to hate all the Jewish people. In fact, I don't hate them at all. It's really not worth the energy it takes to hate. None of these people are worth the energy it takes to hate, folks. You don't go hating anybody. I hate them. I love life, which means I fart in the general direction of Israel, because it's the right thing to do. I mean, they're not worth hating, folks. It takes too much energy, and they don't deserve the energy you would dispel on hating them. All you'll do is love life and disregard these people and view them as the low-life morons that they are. Just sort of look down your nose at them. And that's really all you need to do, folks. Don't comply with anything they're doing. Don't support any of their products. Boycott everything that you know that Israel creates. Don't send them any money. Keep hitting their posts on Twitter and telling them how much you don't believe anything they're saying, that you don't believe the Holocaust lies anymore, you don't believe the anti-Semitic card they keep playing. And imagine even having to invent a word like anti-Semitic. Imagine being a group of people who commit so many crimes that have been expelled from 1,030 countries, that have done all the stuff they've done, and you've done so much bad stuff that you actually need to invent a word to stop people criticizing your actions. and you need to legislate that people can't criticize you. And you can't say anything bad about Israel, folks. If you do, you're anti-Semitic, you can go to jail. You can go to jail in some countries in Europe simply for questioning the Holocaust, for even wanting to revise the numbers. When they did it themselves, did you notice? They say there were 6 million Jews killed in World War II in the Holocaust. They say 4 million of them died at Auschwitz. And then, like maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, they redid that figure. They said, well, actually, no, we can only account for 1 million dying in Auschwitz. But they never revised their figures. They never dropped it down to 4 million or dropped it down to 2 million. Like, if it wasn't 4 million, like they're saying, it was only 1 million, then that would be the only possible number, could be 3 million that actually died, because they had to take 3 million off the original 6 million figure. But they never revised it. They just said, oh, well, no, only 1 million died here, but the other 4 million, the other 3 million must have died somewhere else. Now, don't question it, though. You can't question it. If you question it, well, you're anti-Semitic, you're a terrorist, and you need to go to jail. It's ridiculous, folks. Most of the people who died in the camps died of typhus. They died when the Allies bombed the supply chains. There were no gas chambers. There was nothing that they said was there, was actually there, folks. The whole thing was completely contrived and concocted. But, of course, you're not allowed to say that, because if you do, you can go to jail. What other story on earth are you not allowed to question? You know, truth does not fear investigation. And even with what's going on in Israel now, they're comparing it to the Holocaust, saying it's the worst atrocity we've ever seen. Well, even by their figures, they're saying 1,400 died. The figures for the Holocaust say 6 million died. But, no, this is terrible. This is the worst thing since the Holocaust. No, it's not. And what about all the other people who died in World War II? You know, 26 million Russians died in World War II. Why don't we hear about them? Why do we just keep hearing this one 6 million figure? You can't talk about anybody else. Even if you suggest that the crimes that were carried out against Russia, and that more people died, more Russians died in World War II than Jews, you get called anti-Semitic. It's incredible, folks. They really think they've got the game sewed up, but the beauty is that it's all falling apart. They've overstepped the mark. They're trying to push the world into World War III. A lot of the people just aren't going along with it. I mean, of course, the United States is trying to. They're sending ships to Yemen, and they intend to start bombing and doing what they can. And I'll probably claim that there's World War III. They'll try to push everybody into it. They'd really like to see Russia and China get involved and step in to protect Gaza and all this sort of stuff. And like I said, one of the reasons that they're doing it so brutally and so publicly is because they want to turn it into a religious war. That's why you've got people saying, what do you think of the migrant influx? And how's your multiculturalism going and all that sort of stuff? And they're saying that the European leaders shouldn't have let all these Muslims come to their country. Half of them aren't even Muslims. They're simply migrants from Africa or whatever. They're just brown skin, so they're saying they're Muslims because they want to turn it into a religious war. They're portraying all of the anti-genocide protests as being pro-Hamas protests, you know, Muslim protests. They're not, you know. Like I said, 30 to 35% of people in Palestine are Christian anyway. So it's not a religious war. That's what they're trying to do, though. They're trying to destabilize Europe, turn it into a war zone. They'd like to see worldwide civil war is what they'd like to see. And civil war is what we don't want, folks. We don't want civil war. We don't need civil war. We could simply do it with a coup. You don't need civil war for a coup. Like I said, if the military, when you're commanded to go to Yemen and kill people you don't know in Yemen by a government which is supporting genocide, which is what the United States has got, it's time for you to go and arrest your politicians in that country. All of the wars that have been fought in the last 100 years have been all created by the same people. As I mentioned before, there's a book you should read by a guy called Mike King, M.S. King. The book is called The Bad War. It starts a timeline that begins in about 1848 and basically goes through to the end of World War II. And it shows you that the same people have been involved in all of these conflicts. They had, you know, colour revolutions and stuff back in the late 1800s to destabilise these countries. We can do this ourselves, you know. If we can just grow up and become adults, then we got this. We don't need civil war. All we need to do is stop complying with our own slavery, stop complying with the dictates of psychopaths, folks. Just say no. It's a wonderful word. Just say no. We don't need conflict. We don't need civil war. Of course, I mean, maybe they'll try to push it, and there'll be some brain-dead soldiers and some brain-dead CIA people and whatever that'll want to turn it into something violent, but that will depend on whether we respond. We can simply say no. A lot of Americans in the military a lot of people in the CIA, a lot of people that work for the government, if enough of the population rise up and just say, no, we're not going to do this anymore, we've identified where all the crime is coming from, we've identified where all the poverty is coming from, we've identified everything that's wrong with our society, and we've realized that all of these problems were legislated to exist, and so we intend to remove the source of these problems, which is the government, and replace them with people of integrity. You're going to find a lot of people break ranks, folks, and you can do that without violence. Sure, there might be some because they're not going to want to leave. There'll still be some factions in there that want to defend them. But once it comes down to Australian military shooting Australians or US military shooting US citizens or British military shooting British citizens, it'll only go so far before a lot of these military people are going to say, hang on a minute, these are my parents and these are, you know, my friends and these are people from my country. These are the people that I joined the military in order to protect. And now because these people want some honesty from their politicians, the politicians are sending me in there to kill these people. I think I see a problem and I think I see a way out of this mess, and that's to listen to what the people are saying and honour what they're saying, because we really do need to remove the source of the problems, which is our governments and the fact that all of our governments are subservient to this fake race of Jews, which are not a race, and who control the banking system, who control the advertising, who control the media, who control everything. So, you know, and a lot of them, like I said, they don't know. They think they are Jews. They think it's an actual race. They think the history they've been fed by Israel is true. A lot of them think that they've always been there and that 100 years ago, Arabs came and started invading Israel. That's what they actually believe. No, 100 years ago, the place was called Palestine. Like in the last century, in the 1800s, it was ruled by the Ottoman Empire. Then in World War I, Britain took control of it. And then it turned into what it is now. And then there was the Balfour Declaration. The Balfour Declaration, I mean, this was basically England saying, yeah, yeah, we'll agree to give you Palestine. But then they reneged on the deal. People who are using the Balfour Declaration guidelines and blah, 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 saying this is the guidelines for the formation of Israel, well, that wasn't honoured. The Balfour Declaration was simply a suggestion, and they agreed to, yeah, we agreed that this is a good idea, but they never did it. At the end of World War I, they never actually gave the land to the Jews the way the Jews wanted. It wasn't until World War II that they actually went down there after World War II by calling the Holocaust and staging that whole affair that they managed to go down there and bully their way into becoming a state. And again, folks, there was no Holocaust. There was no hoax in World War II. You know, Hitler had 100,000 Jews in his army. There's a book you can buy called Hitler's Jewish Soldiers. It shows you 100,000 Jews in Hitler's army, including, like, I think, 10 generals and two field marshals as well. Hitler's personal driver was a Jew. He wasn't exterminating the Jews. He just didn't like what the Jews, the Zionists, if you will, Zionist Jews, were doing. And Zionism is a terrorist ideology, folks. Apparently the United States has just legislated or put forth some order or something saying that Zionism and Judaism are the same thing, and that if you are speaking out against Zionism, it's now classed as anti-Semitism. Well, that's going to be interesting for all the hundreds of thousands of Orthodox Jews that live in the United States who all say Zionism is a terrorist force and that Zionism has got nothing to do with Judaism. I thought the United States was a place where you're supposed to have religious freedom. So the real Orthodox Jews are now, what, going to be arrested for calling Zionism out as the terrorist network that it is? And it is, folks. It's a terrorist network. Zionism is a terrorist, racist ideology. People who support Zionism should be arrested. It should be named as a terrorist organization worldwide. And people who support Zionism, who are active Zionists, should be arrested. They should be jailed. They should be held to account for their crimes. It's a mental disease, folks. Zionism is the concept that you can just steal anybody's land that you want, that it's all good, because anywhere Jews go, it becomes Jewish. Well, the reality is, folks, that there are no Jews, as I showed you from that little intro by Dr. Day. And again, folks, if you have a problem with that, go take it up with the original scribes of the Bible, because all she's doing is giving you the correct translations that will be found in the Bible. So yeah, that are found in the Bible. But anyway, folks, I think I'm getting close to running out of battery, so I probably should leave it here for now. Sorry it's been so long. It's been like 10 days since I gave you a video. I went away for a little while, then when I got back, I just slept for 2 days straight. I've been so angry with what's going on in Gaza as well, that I didn't want to come here and just rant and rave and get abusive. So I thought I'd better wait a little bit till I calm down. But thank you for those who have persevered and waited. Thank you to anybody who sent me any kind emails. I missed out on an interview I was supposed to do the other day as well, folks. The guy was concerned that I was in trouble or had gone dark or something. It was simply a time thing. I got the time wrong. People, when they book interviews with me, they need to tell me the time on Acapulco time, not on whether it's Eastern Standard or Western Standard or Pacific time or whatever. I never know what any of these things are, folks. I don't really pay much attention to time. I don't have any watches or anything like that. I just don't look at this sort of stuff. Plus, I've got a very bodgy internet connection at the moment. Things are pretty strange here. I mean, still no internet on at the house where I live. I've actually got an old cell phone hooked up to the landlord's Starlink modem, which is tethered to my big computer, which is the only way I'm actually able to get internet at the moment. So that's an interesting little setup. But I've got an interview with this guy tomorrow. I can't remember the name of the channel. He will be advertising it on Twitter. And so that'll be good. I'll be there for this one, folks. So never fear, I will make it. But thank you to all those people who send me so many kind emails and who have been so supportive over the years for all this, folks. And things are really coming to a head now. As much as I'm tired of doing these videos, and really, I'm tired of doing this. I've been doing this for 17 years now, and it's not anything I ever planned to do. I mean, I started doing this simply because it needed to be done. I thought there needed to be some sort of balance in the so-called truth movement. Yeah, a lot of people seem to be in there for their own personal glory and wanting to be gurus and spreading fear and all sorts of stuff. And sure, we've got a lot to be concerned about, but nothing to be fearful about. You should not be in fear of the impending collapse of this slavery system. You should not be in fear of the criminals in government exposing themselves to the level that they are. And just don't get distracted by things. You know, a list came out the other day of all the Epstein client list, and next to it were things say arrested and executed. Now, apparently, all these people have been arrested and taken to Gitmo and executed. No, they haven't, folks. This is all bullshit to try to keep you distracted. It's like the Q movement. Speaking of the Q movement, there's still been no report on Janet Ossebaard, the lady who did Follow the Cabalists. Keep hearing reports that they found her body, but I got no confirmation of that. So whether she actually did commit suicide or whether she's simply gone dark and dropped off the map, who knows? And why she would do that, I mean, maybe it's because she found out that Q and Trump are not your friends, and that, you know, some of the stuff that she's been saying, well, she wasn't completely right on. And maybe she realises she kept people waiting around for a couple of years for Trump to save them and Q to save them, to trust the plan, when really they should have acted. And had they acted, then we would have got out of this mess by now. Perhaps that was one of the reasons she felt the way she did. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of the people that have been supporting the Q movement, people that have been supporting Trump, can now see what a play it was, and they must be pretty embarrassed by the support they've given to these groups and these movements and these people, and perhaps it's depressed them a little bit. But now, see it as a learning curve. See it as an opportunity. I mean, now you know the way these people operate. Well, they're not going to fool you again. You know, fool you once, shame on you. Fool you twice, shame on me. George Bush didn't get that right, of course, did he? But, you know, that's the situation, folks. You know, once bitten, twice shy. People may see the writing on the wall now. But perhaps that's what affected her. Who knows? But I do hope she does show up. Like I said, I mean, I haven't particularly been a fan of her work. I can appreciate that it probably woke a lot of people up. There was certain levels of misdirection in there. But I don't think she was constantly or consciously doing that. I think she just got fooled by the Q movement the way so many others did. So I hope she's okay. But yeah, as I was saying, folks, thank you all for the support you give me over the years. There are many kind emails that I get. I do get lots of emails, folks. Sorry if I haven't answered you. I've got emails going back there. I've got like 7,000 or 8,000 emails in my mailbox, folks. I've got to go back and start replying to them. I replied to someone the other day, and like, he'd sent me an email like almost a year ago, and I finally got around to replying to it the other day, and he was blown out that I actually replied. But I mean, I do try to reply, folks. It gets a little daunting when I look in my inbox and see the level of communication I've got there to get through. It's pretty freaky. But thank you to all the people who do send me so many kind words and so many emails. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. That's the only thing that's kept me going over the years, folks, and I really appreciate that. I mean, the first 8 years that I did this, I lived on my own funds completely before I even opened up a place where people could donate. I lived off my guitars for most of the time. I had a lot of guitars. I mean, I lost a lot of stuff. My wife stole a lot of stuff, but I had a lot of stuff in storage as well. So I didn't lose all of it. I just didn't have access to it because it wasn't stored where I was living. But yeah, it did keep me going for a long time. But since then, I mean, it was like 8 years into this when I actually started opening up a means for people to be able to donate, and I really appreciate those who have. Again, folks, do come to Anacapulco in February next year. You can go to the link below. You'll find a link to the Anacapulco website below. Again, it's going to be Anacapulco Reborn, which is what we're seeing here with this place. This place is being reborn. All of Acapulco is actually being reborn, folks, after this hurricane. But it's going to be good. And if you do want to come, you can take the link below and you can use my last name, Egan, I-G-A-N, as the coupon, and you will get yourself a 10% discount on your ticket. And it's going to be great. I'm going to be spending a lot of time at the event this year because I won't be running the bar the way I was last year, which really took it out of me. I wasn't well last year, folks, for the whole event. I was there for my talk, and I was probably there like twice during the whole event, maybe for like half an hour at a time when I wasn't talking, because I was just so exhausted. And even when I was back at the bar, I couldn't spend any time or socialize with anyone because I was so run down and exhausted. But this year, I won't have the bar, so I'll be socializing a lot more, and that's going to be a good thing, folks. So do come along. And like I said, you can use my name, Egan, for a 10% discount on your ticket, and that's always a good thing. But I think that's about all I've got to share with you today. Sorry if this was a little discombobulated and scattered and all over the place. So much stuff on my mind. I don't know how long I'm going to stay in Acapulco. I don't really plan on being here too long after the event, but I feel like I may as well stay here until the event anyway. I mean, I can't be bothered moving. I mean, the rent's paid up, so all I've got to do is rent the place I'm in for one more month, and then I'll be here till the end of Anacapulco, so then it will be a good time. I'll basically be free until the following February, so I'll have plenty of time to actually go and find somewhere to be once the event's over. I do intend to still go home for a while though, folks. I intend to check out things in Australia and see what's going on. It's a beautiful place, folks. Even with the damage, it's a beautiful place, folks. It still is. These little lily ponds are awesome, aren't they? Little statues, insects and lizards roaming around and stuff. Beautiful stuff. I love being able to come here. They're so good to me, the people who run this place. I really do love being able to come here. But anyway, folks, I'm going to leave it there for now. Hopefully, like I said, it wasn't too discombobulated. It won't be 10 days before you get another show from me. I'm back home now, so I'll try to get them out a little bit more regularly. You know, as I've said, folks, it does get a little tiresome because I've been doing it for 17 years. I never really planned on doing it for 17 years. I thought the world might have woken up by now. But, well, we do what we can, folks. We do this because it needs to be done. And while it needs to be done, I guess I will continue doing it. Because what else am I going to do? It needs to be done. What can I say? But, yeah, there's still a lot of beauty here, folks. There really is. And I said to the owner before, I saw him as I came in, and I said to him, yeah, it's coming along. Every time I come here, it looks better. He said, yeah, a lot of money, a lot of work. And I said, yeah, well, it's going to come back even more beautiful than what it was. It's going to be reborn into something incredible. Now you've got an opportunity to do it. You could actually fix up a few little things and make a few little changes, and it's going to be incredible once they get it all rebuilt and back up and running, folks. So yeah, and it's good to be part of it. You know, a lot of people coming here and helping out and stuff, and, you know, it's good. There's a lot of work, but a lot of people are doing it, so it's good to see. Anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I'll leave you with something. I'm not quite sure what it will be, but I'll leave you with something here. And I will look forward to speaking to you again, probably in the next few days. Please take very good care. Until that time, in luck, cash. Thank you.